Amen. I need you to hang with me tonight. Amen. There's nothing like studying the Word of God. I need you to get your pencil sharp. Amen. Your spiritual pencil. We may eat some meat tonight. Amen. Praise God. It's good to love all the Word, but I want to be challenged. I want to grow. Amen. If there's something in the Word, I need to do it. I want to know I need to do it. Amen. This is what makes great saints is preaching that is not on highlight reels. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight, and it ain't going to be made for a highlight reel. It's going to be made for heaven. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews 12:1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." That means if you just look around at all that's already gone on to their reward, that's what that is talking about. Amen. Others have made it. We can make it. He said, "Let us lay aside." Everybody say, "Lay aside." Amen. "Every weight and the sin which doth so easily." This means knock us off track. "That doth so easily beset us." That means we get going the wrong direction when we get in sin. Amen. So we need to lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Somebody said there's no works. Amen. Let me tell you, my Bible is full of works. You better be ready to run if you're going to make it to heaven. Then you're going to have to be patient while you're running. Amen. The race that is set before us. Amen. I want to preach a little while from this title, "When a Weight Becomes a Sin." Amen. When a weight becomes a sin. Set your Bibles down, and I need my prayer warriors all across this house to help me pray right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, join up with somebody around you if it's appropriate. Hallelujah. Let's pray together right now. We need each other. Come on. We need to grow. Hallelujah. We need to go higher in God. Hallelujah. The Lord is coming back after people. Come on. Does anybody want to get ready for the coming of the Lord? For the coming of the Lord. For the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. This is the most important thing in our life. It's to be ready to meet the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach "When a Weight Becomes a Sin." Amen. Praise God. The Lord wants everybody to be saved. Amen. I've heard people say, "I don't know if God wants anything to do with me." Let me tell you, God wants you to be saved. Matter of fact, He wants you to be saved so bad that He robed Himself in flesh and laid down His life so that you would have the opportunity to make it to a place called heaven. Amen. The Bible would tell us that in 2 Peter 3:9, that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. I don't have a real simple way for you to make it to heaven. I don't have an easy, greasy way for you to make it. But I want to tell you, God wants you saved, and He wants everybody to have a moment of repentance. You don't just walk through the door bouncing and jumping and doing cartwheels and you're all of a sudden saved because you're happy. That's not how this works. Amen. How this works is you got to die first. It's called repentance. Amen. Where you lay down your desires and what you want and how you think everything ought to be, and you say, God, whatever you want. Amen. The basis of repentance is not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. That's a big challenge, is to put your will in the back seat and let God get in the front seat and start driving you where he wants you to be. Amen. I want you to know how much that God loves you tonight, and how much trouble, I would say, that he's gone through to make it available where you could be saved. Amen. He begins to tell us in his word, this is what true love is to me, is when he would tell me what would separate me from him. Hallelujah. Y'all gonna help me tonight? Amen. I want to know what would separate me from him. If I'm doing something wrong, I want to know what I'm doing wrong. And Isaiah 59 and 1, I want you to, I think they're going to put it on the screen. Boy, we got some on the ball screen people. Brother Nick back there, praise God. Quick shooter, fast shooter. Amen. The Bible said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But he said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. If you ever get to where you're not feeling God, you need to get you a mirror, a spiritual mirror, and start looking into it, saying, is there anything in my heart that's preventing God from coming down in this prayer meeting where I'm at tonight, touching me and helping me? He said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Amen. So every one of us got a challenge today. If we want to stay close to God, we want to touch God, we got to get out of the sinning business. Amen. One of the biggest liars in the world would be a preacher that would tell you you can live however you want to live and don't worry about it. God's going to be right there with you, and he's going to hold your hand, and y'all going to walk through life, and you don't have to change. You don't have to repent. You don't have to do anything different than you were before you got here. That's the biggest liar on the planet. Let me tell you what thus saith the word of God. If you want a closeness with God, you got to shake off some heavy bands. Amen. You got to learn how to lay some things down. You got to learn how to say, yes, Lord, I want to do exactly what your word says. Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews is saying, amen, that you're not going to make it on this journey if you got sin in your life. Praise God. It may not be real loud tonight. Amen. But I want to make it there. I don't want to spend 50 years journeying, and when I get there, I'm not there. I end up somewhere else. I don't want that to happen to anybody. Amen. It's time for the church to stand up and say, hey, if sinning got you to a good place, you'd have never ended up here. If sin was leading you down a good road, you would have never ended up in an apostolic church. You came here because sin was taking you the wrong way. Hallelujah. Man, but this is how serious God is about you being saved. He doesn't just want you to stop sinning and to purge your life, but he also wants you to lay aside every weight. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad I prayed most of the day. A weight is a bulk. It's a mass. It's a burden. It's an encumbrance. God is saying you can't be sinning, but also you got to get past the, well, I'm not doing what I used to do. the church ought to be happy that I'm not doing all the things that I used to be tied to. Well, thank the Lord you ain't sinning anymore. But then the New Testament church goes a little bit further. You also got to get rid of some things that would slow you down from making it where you need to go in God. Oh, I'm going to preach a little while. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. People get the big 10, the 10 commandments or whatever they get in their mind, I'm really living for God, but they're hooked up to all kind of things that drag them down. Amen. I want to preach a little while. It's going to take more than just making sure you're not falling into sin every day and being immoral. Amen. You're going to have some moments of prayer in your life where you look around and say, who am I hanging out with? What am I listening to? What am I allowing my eye to see? What am I lusting after? Who am I allowing in my ear that's slowing me down from the journey that God has put me on? He said, you got to lay every weight. Everybody say aside. And this is what the Lord has been dealing with me. Amen. There's a whole lot of things that begin as maybe innocent. But then innocent things can turn into weights. And then if you ain't careful, weights will turn into sin. And when it turns into sin, you're in trouble with God. And this process can happen so slowly and subtly that you don't even know it. And you're hooked on something that's pulling you away from God. And boy, if I ever want to preach about prayer, I think I'm going to preach about prayer for a little while. You know why people don't want to pray? They don't want to hear what God has to say. People don't want to pray because they don't want to get convicted about what they've been looking at, what they've been allowing into their life. Come on, somebody help me right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when we begin to realize and recognize that these things that are holding us back, if we don't try to fix it, it's going to turn into sin. James 4 and 17 would say it like this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, everybody say to him. It may not be to me, but to you or him or them. When you look around and you realize there's things that are dragging you down and you don't get rid of it. It may not be listed in this scripture that thou shalt not whatever. Amen. But when you realize, you know what? Every time I begin to participate in this conversation, I begin to feel drugged down. I feel like weights get put on me. The Bible said when you know it, you better stop doing it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to preach a little while. Amen. It's time for people to start recognizing what's got me on the spiritual roller coaster. Let me tell you, if it already took you down one time, don't get in the car with it again. Boy, I feel like shouting for a while. If it already took you down one time, don't play with it again, my friend. Turn it off. Throw it away. Delete it off your phone. Get rid of it. Hey, man, when you know it's dragging you down, God's looking at you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, we're way past the point where you can say, well, there's not a scripture that says, thou shalt not whatever. Amen. We're past the thou shalt not. There'll never be another one written from now till eternity. You're going to have to get a prayer life, and you're going to open up the Word of God, and you better realize
There's going to be a whole lot of thou shalt nots that ain't written for you. But there's going to be some weights that'll get a hold of you.
Amen. Praise God. I don't want people going. Why don't we start learning from the things that drag us down? The people that drag us down. Amen. The things on your phone you look at that drag you down, that make you feel. Oh, I feel Jesus right now. Hallelujah. The Bible says whatever you bring into your tent, you will become just like it. Now, if you need individual verbiage for everything that you're not supposed to do, I got a feeling you're probably not going to make it to where you want to go. But you need to learn how to divide the word of God and understand whatever I bring into my house, I'm going to be just like it. Hey, I'm going to preach against Hollywood. I'm going to preach against perversion. I'm going to preach against websites you don't need to be on. Come on, somebody help me right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you know you got a problem, everybody knows who they are. We know who we are. Let's not even pretend and act like we're actors. Let's just be who we are. I know who I am. You know who you are. And if you know who you are, you know what you don't need to be around. If you know you got a problem with perversion, there's a whole lot of things you don't need to be looking at. There's places you don't need to go. There's things you don't need to say. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah. Amen. It's things that latch on to us. Amen. They may not be listed as a sin, but if they begin to slow you down where you cannot grow and you can't make progress, let me tell you, there's got to be a point where you just got to be a big boy. You got to get off the spiritual bottle and just say, you know what? Come on, I hope you can chew on some meat tonight. Hallelujah. I want to help this whole church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody shout, the devil's a liar. I'm going to talk to you about some examples of how something that's not necessarily a sin can become a weight. And then that weight can become the sin. And you better be aware of the process of what's going on in your life. Amen. This is what the Lord began to deal with me about last night in prayer meeting. Hallelujah. I want this to be a pure and a holy church. Without spot and without wrinkle. Amen. If you think I'm always trying to push people to perfection, if you read this Bible, you would know why I want to push you that far. Because the righteous are going to scarcely, meaning barely, be saved. Amen. Somebody's got to push us. Somebody's got to challenge us. I'm going to talk about something in the Bible that began as innocent. And it evolved into a weight. And then the weight evolved into a sin, and it was simply the wearing of ornamentation, which we would call, in our language, we would call it jewelry. Amen. I'm not here to beat people up. I know people get all worked up when you start talking about stuff. Amen. But at some point, you got to get the word of God in your spirit. I said, you got to get it down deep in your spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. If preaching makes you upset, amen, your heart ain't right. Your spirit ain't right. If preaching makes you mad, amen, you know what you're going to, if you're going to make it to heaven, you got to get your emotions out of the way. You got to,
Amen. I've noticed that some people will really get behind the preaching when it's something that is not an issue to them. Hallelujah. Something they've overcome. They're jumping to their feet and they're shouting. Amen. But they lock up on me when I get down to somewhere where they're living. Amen. I want to get to where everybody's living. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on a trumpet to blow. Amen. If I could save one more person. Amen. I'm going to do my very best. Amen. I'm not going to have blood on my hands. I'm not going to have doubts in my mind. I'm going to know that I laid it all down. Amen. So what do you say? Let's put our emotions to the side and let's just go through the Word of God for a little while. That sound all right to you? Hallelujah. Ornamentation began in innocence. It actually even would predate humanity. Ezekiel would describe the covering of Lucifer in Ezekiel 28 and 13. He would say, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was thy covering." In the 17th verse, he would say, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." Let me tell you, the devil didn't have no brightness. It was every precious stone that God had put upon him was reflecting the glory of God. Let me tell you, if you think you got it all together, it ain't you causing. It ain't your brightness that's causing people to say, "Wow, there's something different about it." Ain't you? It's the glory of God. Hallelujah. But Lucifer gets all mixed up, lifted up because of the beauty and the brightness. And God said, "I'm going to cast you down to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." Amen. This is something, the ornamentation. He had all the precious stones upon him. It began in innocence. God's the one that did it. Amen. But in this particular case, what began in innocence became a weight. It became a weight that slowed him down from serving God, because he spent too much time looking at how good he was. And it wasn't very long till he began to rebel against God. And the wearing of ornamentation went from being innocent to being a weight to being a sin. Genesis 24 and 53. We know the beginning of ornamentation was innocent. The servant of Abraham, the Bible said, brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. We know there was a time when there was no ordinance and it was innocent, the giving of ornamentation. Jacob's story would be like this in Genesis 35 and 1. And God said unto Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel." Bethel means the house of God. And there's just something about the house of God that causes people to start making adjustments in their life. God said, "I want you to go and I want you to dwell there." Everybody say, "Dwell there." Dwell there. Let me tell you, God wants you in church. And he wants you to stay in church. God don't want you in and out, up and down, in and out, in and out. God wants you to put your roots down and say, "This is where I belong." He said, "I want you to dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Then Jacob said unto his household, I love it when a man is the spiritual leader of his house. just like God designed it to be. Amen. I'm not beating people up. I'm challenging people. I'm telling you what thus saith the word of God. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. My Lord, don't preach about holiness. Please don't. You clothesline preachers, y'all. Let me tell you, there's something about being drawn to the house of God. It'll change you from the inside out. Hallelujah. He said, change your clothes. And let us arise and go to Bethel. And I will make there an altar. I'm going to pray. I'm going to make a sacrifice unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. With no ordinance, with no law against ornamentation, Jacob must be noticing something in his family that's different when they got all that junk on them. Nobody's taught Jacob to not do that. And nobody appeared in the night and said, hey, tell your family, get rid of all their earrings, because that's how the Ishmaelites are known. Nobody told that, but he's a spiritual leader. There's something powerful about a man that'll pray. There's something about a man that's not a pervert, but he's a prayer warrior. His mind is on Jesus when he comes to church, not on every other woman in the building, what they're wearing, how they look, how high their high heels are, but a Jacob that's saying, come on, family. Come on, family. Come on, we're about to go to Bethel. We're about to go to the house of God. I need you to do something for me. I want you to change them garments. I don't feel good about us going to Bethel. You dress like that. I don't feel good about going to Bethel with all them earrings in your ear and whatever else you got. He said, I don't feel good about all them little idols that you got in your luggage. Let's go ahead and get all that stuff. Nobody taught him that. He was just in tune with God. He was a praying man. He was a spiritual man. He was a man that would wrestle with God and say, you're not going to leave. You're not leaving here till you bless me. This is the kind of man he was. A man that's like that can get the mind of God and be a leader for his family. Amen. It's a shame that our more than half now of the marriages in our country end up in divorce. It's a trick of the devil to try to get daddy out of the house. There's things mama can do, but there's things daddy can do. I tell it like this, my mama's heart was always right, even though her mind might not have always been right. Mama's hearts are always right, but daddies can see things maybe even that mamas can't see. That's why it's called a helpmeet. We need one another. Boy, it's quiet and right. I'm glad they didn't sing for very long, because I'm going to preach a long time. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to notice something. When the man of the household has a walk with God and he begins to lay down some things, come on, we're not going to do this. Amen. Get rid of all this. I want you to notice what happens. The terror of the Lord falls upon all the enemies of Jacob. Come on, I'm going to teach you how to protect your family. Get real with God. Tell you, when a man takes a stand for what is right, I'm not talking about in a hateful way. Please don't misunderstand me. Amen. Everything we do is in love. Amen. And with tears in your eyes, you got to lead them to what's right. But if a man will do that, God will protect that man and his marriage and his children and his grandchildren. I'm telling you, God puts a hedge around the family where a man stands up for what is right. Hallelujah. In Exodus, we see God tell Israel to spoil the Egyptians. Exodus 3:22. He said, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. No ordinance against ornamentation. Matter of fact, I want to tell you, inherently there is nothing evil about gold or silver or platinum or diamonds. Amen. God created every one of them. Every precious metal, every precious stone, God created them. He tells the children of Israel, when you're getting out of here, I want you to go to your neighbor's house and get her wedding band, get her promise ring, get her whatever. Amen. Take everything out of her hope chest. Put it on your kids. Put it in your pockets. Amen. I want you to take everything valuable that Egypt has, and I want you to head toward the promised land. No ordinance. This is the time, you could call it, of innocence. There's nothing wrong with it. No law against it. Matter of fact, God is even supporting it at this moment. Amen. But when you continue to read, a few days later after they cross that Red Sea, and Moses goes up on that mountain to hear from God, and the people get impatient and they start thinking, where is this man Moses at? Amen. Then they take a man named Aaron, which was the brother of Moses, and they say, here's all of our jewelry. I want you to build us a golden calf. Amen. We're going to worship the golden calf. Now, we don't know what has happened to Moses. I want to tell you, this thing that was innocent a couple days ago, all of a sudden has become a weight to their walk with God. And this weight has very rapidly turned into the sin of idolatry. There is a pattern that ornamentation always becomes a weight, first of all, and then it would lead to sin. Well, it didn't work out very good when Moses came off the mountain. In Exodus 32:20, he took the calf which they had made, from the jewelry which God had told them to take from their Egyptian neighbors. God tells them, take everything they got. They build the calf. Moses come down. He takes the calf and throws it in the fire. Hallelujah. He grinds it in the powder and throws it up on the water and made the children of Israel drink of the water that had the powder of the golden calf ground up in it. Very prophetic what was going to be happening very shortly. God's attitude towards ornamentation begins to change very quickly. Amen. When you get to Numbers 31 and 51, I don't think I gave you this, but it's okay. Amen. The men of war now who have spoiled other nations, they began to bring all the jewels. And instead of taking them and putting them under the bed, they're taking them to the priests now. You see, there's some transitioning happening. I've got a little news flash for you. It wasn't God that had the problem with jewelry to begin with. It was man that had the problem. Man had the problem because every single time he allowed the ornamentation to turn into a weight, which would turn into a sin, which would separate God from his people. I hope you're going to receive this tonight. And I want to tell you, when anything, everybody say anything. Anything begins to affect your walk with God, God's going to turn against whatever that is. You think I'm just preaching about ornament? I'm preaching about anything that would come between you and God is about to get God's attention. God ain't got a problem with people working. Matter of fact, he said you need to work. He said the man that don't work, don't eat. God hates laziness. God wants you to kick the covers off and go beat the bushes and figure something out. Amen. But when some people take it to the other extreme, to where they'd rather go to work than go to church. And when you'd rather go make another dollar than come back to the prayer meeting. What are you talking about? You need to learn to look at your life and see what it is that it's a weight on me. Before you fall into the sin category, you need to get enough spiritual discernment about you to look. What is it that's holding me back? What is it that's holding me from breaking through when I go to church? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. It's not just ornamentation. It could be fishing. Boy, really, we're really mixing it up now. God don't care if a man goes fishing. But if he goes fishing every Sunday morning, honey, you got more than a weight on your line. You got a weight on your life. God's about to turn your fishing boat upside down. God's about. I'm going to preach a little while. Amen. I don't want God upset with me. So we see a shift begin to happen. So amazing to me that he's handing them jewelry. He's putting it on them. And now he's saying, hang on. In Ezekiel, the 16th chapter and the 11th verse, I want you to listen to the mind of God about what is happening between him and his people. He said, I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. This is God's people, and this is God putting it up.
And the raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. You ate fine flour and honey and oil. You was exceeding beautiful. You prospered into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth. You became famous. Thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through, what did he say? He said, through my comeliness. He said, what made you beautiful was the fact I was blessing you. He said, what made you famous is that I put my glory upon you. Until you ain't nobody got room for pride in the kingdom of God. Everything beautiful in the kingdom of God, it's a direct result of what God does in your life and the reflection of the glory of God upon you. He said, which I had put on thee, saith the Lord God. You were beautiful because I made you beautiful. Then he said, thou did trust in thine own beauty, and you played the harlot because of thy renown, because of thy fame, and you poured out your fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou did take and deckest thy high places with divers colors, different colors. And you played the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and you made to thyself images of men, and did commit whoredom with them. I want to tell you something that began very innocent, became a weight very quickly, and then a sin very quickly after that. Amen. Isaiah 3 and 16, God would describe it through the prophet Isaiah like this. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty. They don't mean you're a cutie. That means you're prideful and you're arrogant and you need your tail whipped. And you walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. I can just see God's about, if he could, he would be about to throw up. What I gave you to enhance your life, you used it to do evil with, and you become prideful. The 17th verse, he said, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet. God said, there's coming a day I'm going to rip your ornaments off. He said, and their cauls, which was like a neck ornament, and their round tires like the moon, that was like a crescent-shaped ornament. He said, I'm going to take away the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. That was a veil with all the golden stuff woven into it. The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels. Amen. Are you getting an understanding? Amen, that there's a lot of things in your life that can begin very innocent. I believe there's some people that God could not put money in your pocket because it would change who you are. He said, I gave you the silver, I gave you the gold, I gave you the ornaments, and you turn it into a bunch of garbage. You're walking around like a bunch of floozies. He said, there's coming a day I'm going to rip it off of you. Praise God.
Did God just decide all of a sudden, I hate diamonds? No, God didn't say, I hate diamonds. God didn't say, I hate gold all of a sudden. Just wake up a new God one day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he woke up one day and said, these blessings I gave my people are messing their life up. It's messing up their walk with me. It's turning them into idolatrous people. And God sees something that hinders you and messes you up. He's going to address it. Why? Because he don't want you lost. It's not his will that any should perish. Hallelujah. So you get to the New Testament. Spirit-filled people. And now the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, would say in the book of Timothy, the 2nd chapter and the 9th verse, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest, everybody say modest. Modest apparel. That means it covers you. And that means not so tight that everybody don't have to see it uncovered without knowing what it's like. Modest means I'm going to start a new fad. Flowy is cool. I don't know if I got enough pull to start a new fashion. I want to be a fashion designer. I'm promoting tonight long dresses, long sleeves, flowy clothing. If you're normally a 10, get a 14. If you're a 14, get a 20. If you're a 2, get an 8. Hey, I'm starting a new fashion. We're going to be modest. We're going to do it like the Bible said. Hallelujah. Amen. That was all women's sizes. If you're a 34, get a 38, 34. Expanded legs, cargo style. Baggy britches. I'm tired of seeing men in skin-tight clothing like they're trying to show off something they used to have. Hey, it's time to become what God has called us to be. Modest. Amen. That's not even what I'm preaching about. With shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. The apostle to the Gentile church, he's against ornamentation. He's preaching against ornament. Do you think he's just one of those control guys? I'm going to tell you, he's not a control guy. Y'all been learning about Apostle Paul for weeks now. Amen. He was a bad boy for a while. He loved God with all of his heart. Amen. When he got the Holy Ghost, he was ashamed of who he used to be. He didn't want to hurt people no more. He wanted to lead people to God. And he said, don't put that gold and silver on. Why are you qualified? Well, I got caught up to the third heaven. Praise God. Can I preach a little while? The man with the keys to the kingdom to the New Testament church in 1 Peter 3:3 would say, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold. The Old Testament, there wasn't an ordinance. It was just a beginning of innocence. But God realizes that's something that'll turn into a weight. That'll turn into a sin. So I'm going to have my preachers warn the people. Let's not do it like they did.
But he would put a different spin on it. He would say, but let it be. This is what he wants your wearing of gold or putting on apparel. This is what he wants it to be instead of that. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament. Everybody say the ornament. This is the jewelry that the New Testament church is supposed to have. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a 12 carat. Or whatever, I don't know. I thought carrots were orange until I got old. I grew up apostolic. He said, let your ornaments be it a meek and a quiet spirit. He's saying, the New Testament church, your jewelry is not going to be on your fingers or in your ears or around your neck or on your bracelet. Or your ankles. I don't even know what all this stuff is. I've really had to study hard today, even though what this stuff is. He said, but I want it to be on the inside. Everybody say on the inside. God said the New Testament church, they're going to be decked out. They're going to have the most beautiful ornaments you've ever seen. But you ain't going to see them like you used to see them. They're going to be on the inside. What I'm preaching to you about is to lay aside every weight. And this is where we're going to get in just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. There's going to be things that you may never even hear me preach. You may never read it in that book. But you're going to have enough spiritual discernment to realize this is dragging me down. And you're... I got to get to where I'm getting before I can get to where I'm getting. Okay, y'all, hang on 1 second. The book of Revelations describes two different women. Revelation 17 and 4 describes the first woman, which is the woman of the spirit of our age. Amen. I could say a whole lot about this. A lot of people believe that this is symbolic, and this, they call her the whore of Babylon. Is a church that you've heard of that's really old. Amen. Based out of Southern Europe. Amen. But I'm not throwing names. I'm just going to preach the Bible. But I want you to listen to what John sees. Everybody say what John sees. He's describing what he sees. One woman is arrayed in purple and scarlet color. And she's decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. She's got the ornaments like the Old Testament people did. Having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And he said, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This woman is evil inside and out. And her description is, she's dressed in flamboyant colors so everybody notices her. And she's decked out with every kind of ornamentation that you can imagine. That's her outward adornment. But who her heart is, she is the mother of harlots. She is a fornicator. She is a vile individual. And it is connected directly to the outward adornment of gold and silver. John said, this is how she looked. Then John sees the bride of Christ. In Revelation, I want to be in the bride. I'm willing to do anything to be in the bride. Revelation 19:6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. This is a praising woman. This is loud worshipers. He said, let us, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. This is a vision of what's happening in heaven. This is the bride. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife ain't going to look like that wife I just read about a while ago. She's got a different air about her. She's got a different look about her. She's got a different spirit about her. It's his wife hath made herself ready. Let me tell you, if you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to have to change some things. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you don't think it matters what you look like, I couldn't help. I began to read these scriptures. Sister Farnell, I was in my office. The Holy Ghost came upon me. I began to speak in tongues and cry out to God. Amen. It was totally different from the whore of Babylon. That was someone who wanted the attention of others. I'm telling you, that desire. I'm going to preach. That desire that I always want to be recognized. I want everybody looking at me. That's a direct trait of the mother of harlots. Amen. The bride of Christ is not like that. Her focus is on the bridegroom. Her focus is on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ornamentation. I'm not even preaching about ornamentation. This is what I'm preaching about. When a weight becomes a sin. I tell you, John saw the bride of Christ. Amen. Well, I feel a boldness of the Holy Ghost right now. We're not speculating about what she's going to look like. John saw her. He saw the fornicator and he saw the bride. And the bride was an ornament-free bride. You tell you, if she was decked with gold and silver, he had wrote it down just like when he saw the whore. I hate to be so blunt. Amen, but the word of God is blunt. Amen, there's some things you can't just... You just got to say it. John saw two different women. And the bride. Everybody say the bride. Was ornament free. I'm not going to have one speck of blood up on my hands. Amen. Nowhere in scripture did Peter or Paul or Jesus give any in the New Testament church any reason to put ornamentation upon their body? He didn't say, well, just to make sure your husband don't cheat on you, you might want to get at least a little. He never said one exception. He said, don't do it. He said, don't put it on. Let me tell you, if your spirit don't show everybody else that you're married,
You got a bad spirit. Come on, church. Come on, let the meat of the Word of God feed you. People worry. Well, I'm just preaching a little while. I hope this is all right. Well, I'm just afraid people are going to think I'm not married. Well, they're not going to think you're not married if you don't act like you're not married. When you can't get your eyes off of them, it don't matter if you got a wedding band on or not. People commit adultery every day with wedding bands on. It ain't ever preventing nobody from anything. Hallelujah. I understand people's desires behind it, and I'm not trying to beat people up, but at the same time, we got to lay aside every weight that leads to sin. Hey, man, I've seen the end of the book, and the bride of Christ ain't decked with gold. She don't look like that. She's pure. She's holy. I'm trying to get to the end. I really am. Hallelujah. I got these things they call promise rings. Daddy's bound for the girls that they promise they won't fall into sin before they're married. And let me tell you, I understand daddy's thoughts and all the... Let me tell you, if you think a $99 thing you bought at Walmart works better than a daily prayer life, you're all mixed up. Let me tell you what you need to put on your little girl. You need to put a hedge of prayer around her. You pray in the Spirit every day. God, keep your hand on my babies. Amen. And God will... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The problem with ornamentation, even though it began in innocence, it never fails to become a weight on people's lives. It slowed down Israel's trip to the promised land. It messes everything up. It turns into self-idolatry. I've heard people that took their ring off, that every time that they would begin to lift their hands to praise God, all they could do was look and see that. Tell you, if the God can just get a hold of one person. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I feel like I'm preaching to the air also tonight. I feel like I'm laying down some stakes in this city. Amen. That ain't gonna be crossed. I'm laying down some survey markers. As long as I'm alive, it ain't gonna be crossed. I want every good thing for everybody. Amen. But if something's going to drag you down, I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to proclaim it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. That's what ornamentation is. It began in innocence. No ordinance, no law against it. People begin to do it, and God takes notice, and God goes from feeling like he's blessing people to thinking, I'd like to choke you right now. And just, he said, I'm going to rip them off of you. So he makes an ordinance in the New Testament. No longer is it, well, it's just, whether you feel like it or not, the New Testament lays it out. Don't do it. People get mixed up, and I'm trying to hurry. God help me, Jesus.
People get mixed up because there's people that's got little pieces of ornaments on and they speak in tongues and they prophesy and they pray and they can tell you stuff. Maybe they're using the gifts. And let me tell you something. If the Word of God says something and you got an image of what the bride of Christ is going to look like, let me tell you what Jesus said. In that day, there's going to be people that say, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many mighty works in thy name? You know what they're doing? They're trying to justify why they're not making it to where they thought they were going. And they're saying, my Lord, we thought we were doing your work. And God looks at them and says, I never knew you. Hallelujah. So we got a law. Everybody say we got a law. We got an ordinance. We got a rule. We have no excuse for wearing ornamentation. But that ain't even what I come to preach about. This is what I come to preach about. There's going to be some things that there ain't a law for. There's going to be things you're never going to hear me say. There's going to be some things you're never going to see them written in that book. Just like the old children of Israel never saw, thou shalt not put ornamentation on thy body. But we're going to have enough prayer life and walk with God when that girl or boy gets in the car with us. We began to feel something pull us down. Well, Pastor didn't say I couldn't go out with her. Hey, don't throw me under the bus. I don't have a prayer life for you. I'm trying to save myself from this untoward generation. Well, he didn't specifically say it. You better get enough Jesus in your spirit that when you realize it may not be a sin today that he rides down to Dairy Queen with you and gets a snow cone or whatever. I'm just talking. Amen. It may not be a sin today, but all waits. You listen to me. All waits when you figure out there a weight and you don't get it off of you. Sin lieth at the door. Stand together with me. Lift your hands to the Lord together. Ta 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 ya ta la bo sata. U ta da ba sata la ba sha. I ta la ba kata. Come on, I feel like somebody needs to get ready. Hallelujah. 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 Ramahata. Itaramahasa. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, somebody needs to cry out to God. Help me get this weight off of me. Urahata. Torah. Yeah. Da, come on in Jesus' name. Shada ba 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 hasa. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, just a few moments. Let's cry out to the Lord. I want the Spirit of God to purify your heart and purify your mind. help you to shake some things off. Umasata. Come on. Come on, weights aren't innocent. Come on, it's not a little vice that only you know about. Oh God. It's just a little website you go to. But you still feel God. It's just a little place on Facebook you visit. But you still got a prayer life. So it ain't that big a deal. Come on, quit justifying. Come on, I feel the fear of God in this place. Korah. Sarah. Hataraba. Come on, quit saying we're just the conservatives. Quit saying the others don't matter. Tell you every weight matters. Every commandment matters. Every ordinance matters. It's time to get right. It's time to surrender all. Come on. Come on. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, let the righteousness of God, come on, let it beautify you right now. Oh, God, let your righteousness, oh, let your glory shine upon us. Let them see your beauty, Lord. Let them be committed to you. Oh, don't let a little fox spoil the vine. Don't let a little vice cause us to be lost. Oh, God. Come on, cry out to the Lord. Come on, church, everybody in this room praying right now. Everybody in the room. Everybody in the room, cry out to God. Oh. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, I feel God drawing people. I feel a purifying spirit wanting to help people. Come on. Come on, let God. Come on, let God. Let God.